Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, an airline pilot was flying over the Tennessee mountains, and he pointed down to this small little lake to his co-pilot. And he said, "See that little lake? When I was a little kid, I used to sit in a rowboat in that lake fishing. And whenever I would see a plane fly overhead, I would look up at that plane and wish that I was flying it." And he said, "Now I just look down at that little lake and I wish that I was in the little rowboat fishing." You know, I'm not really a fisherman or a pilot, but I can relate to what he's saying here. And I think a lot of us can, right? The grass is always greener on the other side, but sometimes you get to the other side and you realize the grass was actually greener back here. It's amazing the way that light does that. It's like the further away from the grass you are, the better the grass looks, right? See, as human beings, we get discontented very easily. We always want what we don't have. We always want a little bit more. And so you can dream all your life about accomplishing a goal, and you accomplish the goal, and then you sit back and you go, "There's got to be more." Or you can accumulate all this money, all this wealth, and then you get to this point where you're like, "Well, now I need more. I need more. I got to protect my investments. I got to keep it all secure. I got to make sure that I don't lose out on life. For now, my aspirations are even bigger," right? We struggle with discontentment. You know, whether you're rich or poor, you never have enough money, do you? Some of us are discontented about food. You know, it's a Western problem, and some of us get away with it because we have fast metabolisms, and others of us, we just, you know, we really want food. We go to a restaurant, we eat at this big plate of food, and we're all full, and they come over, and they're like, "Do you want dessert?" And we should be content, and we say, "Yes." Listen, don't think that I'm judging anyone here. I'm in the process of making sure that the scale is happy with me right now. You know, it's so easy for everything to slip up because we get discontent with the food that we have. We get discontented with possessions, right? Have you ever done this? You go out and you've been saving up. You buy this thing that you've really wanted. Maybe it's for a hobby, or maybe it's an electronic or some other thing, whatever you're into. You get it, and then like a week later, you find out that there's something better, and you're just, I want that now. Maybe you experienced this when you bought a house, if you're a homeowner, right? You buy a house, you're like, "This is our dream home, we're in here," and next thing you know, you're on the MLS, realty.ca, whatever it is, listings, and you're looking at the next step up. You know, if we just clean this up, we can flip it in a couple years, and we can get into something that's really our dream. Or your health, right? Your health. If only I was a little bit fitter. If only I didn't have this ailment, this disease, this pain. I'm only 30 and I'm starting to recognize that there is pain in life. What about respect? We just want a little bit more. Or satisfaction? There's no satisfaction in life, is there? We just want a little bit more all the time. And so right now, I have an exercise that I want us all to do together. I want you to think, in this place right now, what is the one thing separating you from being happy? If you just had it, you'd be happy. In fact, how do you fill in this blank? I will be happy when blank. So if you've got a mobile device here, you want to type that answer down in your notes thing, or go to ascc.life and tap on message notes and fill out your notes there. You can do that. If you've got a piece of paper, write it down. You might be asking, "Pastor Stephen, I already have the answer. Why are you asking me to do this?" It's so that when you answer the question, you can't go back and say, no, I didn't ever think that. No, it's fine. And so be thinking that. I literally see like one person looking down, typing or writing something right now. This is great. All right. What is that thing? Is it when you're healed, you'll be happy? Will you be happy when you get that promotion or when you get that raise? Will you be happy when you're married? Will you be happy when you're single? When you're rich? How would you finish that statement? So I'm assuming just by the lack of activity that people are doing right now that you're all done that. And so here's what I want you to do. With what you've written down, answer this question. If your ship never comes in, if that dream never comes true, if your situation never changes, if you never reach that place, can you be joyful? Can you be joyful? Can you be happy if that doesn't happen, if you're not healed? Can you be happy? If you don't become rich, can you be happy? If you don't get that promotion, that raise, can you be happy? And if not, then chances are you're living a life of discontentment. And really, even if you go, no, I could be happy in that, okay, but I bet you there's been times in your life where you've looked at the situation that you're in, the money that you have, the things that you have, the person that you are, and you just want more, you want different, you want better. And today, as we conclude our series on joy, we're going to be finding out the key to contentment, and through that, through contentment, one of the keys to having a joy-filled life. Will you join me as we pray this morning? I think that's so important that when we examine what God has for us, that we just invite him into the equation. And so, Heavenly Father, today, will you work in our lives? And will you actually begin to root out in us those areas that we are worried, that we're thinking about what the better thing is, where we're just not content with what you've given us, what you've provided us with right now, Lord God. And I know in some of our situations, this is difficult, God. So just begin to give us peace, begin to give us hope. And I ask that you'll help us not to write things off right away, but that we'll consider, critically, consider what is said this morning, what you have to reveal to us. And God, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're coming to the end of the book of Philippians, and as Dr. Rocca mentioned last week, Philippians, as you go through it, or at least as I go through it, I read a section and I go, there are 11, 12, 13 messages in this one section, and I'm not a big fan of super long series. I have the attention span of a small dog looking at a squirrel, and so when I get to about 4 to 6 weeks on something, I'm ready for a change. Are you with me? And so instead of doing a 50-week series on the book of Philippians, what I encourage you to do is read it. It's short. It doesn't take long to read, and you know, it's an amazing thing. The Holy Spirit will speak to you in your situation as you read this book. So today we're going to skip around a little bit at the end of the book of Philippians, just because it's kind of wrapping a lot of things up, and it jumps around a bit. We want to stay on topic. We want to keep things a little bit shorter so that our attention spans don't seem to wander. And so will you join with me here today? We're going to start chapter 4, verse 4. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Philippi. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Let's skip down to verse 11. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now down finally to verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, I've bounced around here a little bit. What I encourage you to do, make sure that you're reading all of chapter 4, Okay, I think in this room all of us know how to read, and so just do that for me. Okay, don't take my word for things. Don't allow me to just cherry pick the Bible and put something together and say, here you go, this is what it says, when it doesn't actually. Get back into this, read it, and make sure that what I am telling you week after week after week is truth. Okay, can you do that for me? Are we listening? All right. As we read this book, you may be in a couple different situations, and you might be tempted to say, well, it's easy for Paul to say that I need to rejoice. It's easy for Paul to say, have peace. It's easy for him to say that I should be content, but Paul's not familiar with my circumstance. You know, he doesn't know what it's like to run a company or to have the resources that I have and to have to protect them and to figure out investments. Or he doesn't know what it's like to lose his job and then not have anything and have no means in life, or to barely be making ends meet but be so busy doing it. And yet what we actually see is that Paul has all the credentials to speak about contentment in every situation. He's been in situations where he would go into a community and people would take him into their homes. They would support him well. His tent-making business would be doing really well. For some reason, people really liked tents that day, and so he made lots of money and all this, you know? But then there were other times, like when he's writing right now, where he's in prison. Okay, you want to think you got it rough. Here's a guy who all he did was tell people that Jesus loves them, and they're like, into prison you go. Wow, that's great, you know? Here's a guy that knew what it was like to travel by foot, place to place to place, and in some places have people be like, no, you can't stay with us, and in fact, we're going to throw you in that pit, and we're going to take rocks and throw them at you until we think you're dead. Do you know that that happened to Paul? And yet he says, I can rejoice, and I found a way to be content in all these situations. Now, how many of you say there is no way to be content while people are throwing rocks at your face? Right? Paul thinks there is. Really, what I see as I look at this passage here is Paul tells us that peace and contentment lead to joy. Peace and contentment lead toward joy. Okay, when you have peace within yourself, in your situation where you're not going, man, you know, I can't do anything about this right now, but I really need to be thinking about it because if I think about it enough, suddenly the situation will go away. That's the way it works, right? Or you think, man, I've got everything that I need, but actually I really need a little bit more. And so we think that worrying about things, that just looking to the future all the time and never looking at what we already have, that's what we're supposed to do in life, that's how we seek God's purpose in our lives and how we find joy. And yet, how does that work? How's that working for you? Paul says peace and contentment lead toward joy. See, if you're content with where you're at in life, and if you can find peace in every situation, ask yourself, how can you not find joy? The problem is that as long as you focus your life on earthly things, contentment will be fleeting and joy will be out of your grasp. As long as you focus your life on earthly things, contentment will be fleeting and joy will be out of your grasp. Okay, so as long as you're looking at life and you're like, what can I get out of life now? How much can I get? How comfortable can I be? You're going to get to that place that you thought would make you happy, that you thought would make you content, and it's going to be gone. Or you're going to think that you feel peace inside, and then suddenly you're told that they're restructuring your organization. Or suddenly that job that you'd booked up, that you were relying on, it's going to fall through. And that peace is going to be gone and your joy is going to be gone. Right? See, we've been saying over and over again throughout this series, when your focus is on yourself, happiness is dictated by your situation. But when your focus is on Jesus, joy can be found in every situation. Because when your focus is on yourself, things go wrong and it's like, man, this sucks. I'm not happy anymore. And then you go to a birthday party and you're like, oh, I'm happy because we're having fun and cake and all this stuff. And then you go home and you wake up the next morning, you step on the scale and you're like, oh, I'm not happy anymore. And you end up with these like weird mood swings because life goes up and down. But God never changes. And when your focus is on Jesus, joy can be found in every situation as you focus on Him and on pleasing Him and responding to what He's done for you. See, it's interesting. Paul, in this passage, and so often we miss it, he directs us to move our gaze upward. He says, don't worry about these things, but in every situation, and listen, I think every doesn't just mean every bad situation, it also means every good situation. Pray. Talk to God about it. Say, God, can you help me here? Can you give me peace? Can you help me in this situation? Can you help me to be contented with wherever it's at? Can you help me to glorify you in this situation, to honor you with the way that I live my life, even as I'm experiencing this stress? And he says, focus on heavenly things. And you might be saying, Pastor Stephen, he does not say focus on heavenly things. That was not in there. And yet you'll see here in verse 8, he says, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. These are heavenly things. He says, pray to God. Need I go on? And so if we can focus our life on something different, get our thoughts off of ourselves, you know, this whole thing that whatever makes me comfortable right now, that's the thing that I need, that's the thing in the moment that I'm going for, and if something interrupts that, then my life stinks. No. Because it's the person and work of Jesus Christ who enables you to have peace and contentment and joy. It is. It's the person and work of Jesus Christ who enables you to have peace and contentment and joy. Think about it. God created humanity to be with Him, to be in a relationship with Him. We're told that in the garden, at the beginning of creation, that God would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Wow. Can you imagine that? Just like, oh, here's God. Let's hold His hand and just go skipping through the garden, you know? But then humanity did this really weird thing. We were like, you know, God, what you've given us is great. You know, you made us your image bearers. You put us in charge of the world. But there's that tree you told us not to eat from. And that snake over there, he said that if we eat this fruit, that we're going to know the stuff that you know, that we're going to be like God. That sounds really good, right? I can be like God. I can be master of my life. I can get whatever I want. I can know all that God knows. And so they disobeyed Him. And in that moment, that peace, that harmony that existed between God and humanity, it was broken. I mean, think about it. Someone makes you, and then the one thing that they said not to do, you had one job, and you messed it up. You had one relationship that you were designed for and you decided it wasn't good enough for you. So but the Bible says that we were at enmity with God. We were against Him. We were not at peace. In fact, we were enemies. We'd sided with the deceiver, with the one who wants nothing more than just to drag those that love God's children or that love God away from Him to be tormented. So you might be thinking, Pastor Stephen, that you're talking a lot about how we lost peace. Can we talk a little bit about how Jesus brings us peace? Well, let me tell you how He brings peace. And that is that throughout history, God pursued us. That's what the first part of this book is about. It may seem weird talking about all these wars and these prophecies and talking about like these ritualistic things, but really what this was God just being like, hey, I'm setting aside a people for myself. You need to be different than those that are going out and doing these immoral things. Because this is how I need to show myself to you, reveal myself to you, and show you the impossibility of your situation. And from you, I'm going to affect my plan as I humble myself and come to you. See, we're told that Jesus, though He was in the form of God, He did not see equality with God as something to be held on to, but that He humbled Himself and became a slave for us. and that the only man ever to live a perfect life, because he was born without a sin nature, as God and man, died a criminal's death on a cross, and as he did that, he put upon himself everything that hurt the heart of God, everything that made it so that we were bound and shackled to sin. Remember that song that we sang this morning, "No Chains on Me"? Jesus broke the chains. And Jesus has given us everything. Jesus changes everything. And that's the reason why it's the person and work of Jesus Christ who enables you to have peace and contentment and joy. Let me put it another way. You begin to walk toward a contented life as you submit to Jesus as God and King, as you serve him who died to save you, and as you trust him whose grace and power is sufficient to meet all your needs. Let me unpack this just really briefly for you. Jesus is God and he's King. And so what do you do to someone who is more powerful than anyone else in the universe? You submit to them. They obviously know what they're doing. They know better than you. God created it all. God sees it all. He sees the future. He knows what's best. And so we submit to him. It's like, hey, Jesus, you came for me. You're God. You're my King. I've accepted you as my ruler. And so I submit to you. It's not about what I want out of life. It's what you want out of life. We serve him who died to save you. I mean, listen. If God comes to earth and he is willing to die for you, I mean, that's the greatest act of service that I've ever heard of in my life. In fact, we honor people quite often. The Legion, I was just having a conversation at the parade, that the Legion leads things off. Why? Because they serve their country. So we serve him who died to save us. It's not too much to ask, is it? And then we trust him whose grace and power is sufficient to meet all your needs. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the God who has helped me in all these things, he will provide for you in your hour of need. That's what Paul says. See, it really comes down to focusing your life on Jesus. If you focus your life on Jesus, then when circumstances are tough, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. When circumstances are tough, you recognize that they're tough. Paul wasn't stupid. He knew that he was in prison. Okay, on days that he wasn't getting food, he knew that he was hungry. When rocks were flying at his head, he knew that he was getting hit in the head with rocks. Like, he's a smart guy. But in all of that, he recognized that God was there, that he was doing it for the glory of Jesus, and that he would go through anything if it was the will of God. And that what's the worst thing that could happen? To live is Christ, to die is gain. If we live, we continue with the opportunity to glorify and honor God. And if we die as people who follow him, then we're in glory with him. See, that's the Christian hope. That's the Christian message. Friends, peace and contentment lead toward joy. But as long as you focus your life on earthly things, contentment will be fleeting and joy will be out of your grasp. It's the person and work of Jesus Christ who enables you to have peace and contentment and joy. So you begin to walk toward a contented life as you submit to Jesus as God and King, as you serve him who died to save you, and as you trust him whose grace and power is sufficient to meet all your needs. See, contentment is difficult for all of us. You may not think so, but we live in a society that raises us to be consumer-minded, and consumers are by nature discontent, because if you're not discontent, you're not a very good consumer. So we live in a world that fosters this in us, and we can be discontent whether we have a whole lot of stuff or whether we have nothing. In fact, it's interesting, John D. Rockefeller, this oil baron, rich, rich man, he was asked one day, how much money is enough? And this was his response, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. See, Jesus warns that money can very easily become a god, and that God always wants us to pursue just a little bit more, wants our focus always to be on it. Whether we have little or whether we have a lot, we just need a little bit more. whether we have lots of stuff and we can't hold it all, you know what? I can buy a storage unit so that I can have just a little bit more. Or maybe it's the passions and desires, these worldly passions that go against God's plan for your life that are in you, but you just love them so much and you think, well, I just need a little bit more. Because you've made yourself your God. But let me tell you, a little bit more gets really exhausting, doesn't it? So Paul directs us to find contentment in every situation through Jesus. In him, we can find peace. In him, we can find contentment. In him, we can find the rest that we so desperately need. And in him, we can find joy because he is sufficient in all things. He gives us strength in all situations. He'll provide what we need to push through every situation that seems to hinder us. And yet you may be here today and you may be thinking, I don't have that peace. And your first thought might be, well, I'm going to go to a bookstore, or otherwise known as I'm going to go to the internet, and I'm going to look up 100 ways to be more peaceful and more content. But the problem about when you do that is then you start to get discontented and restless about your lack of peace and about your discontent and your inability to actually do anything to change the situation. But if you'll just begin to focus on God and recognize that you can give him glory in all situations, that's where you'll begin to see peace, contentment, and joy come through. Remember, these things are fruit of the Spirit. They're not fruit of how hard you work to achieve them. So as you focus on pressing into the Spirit and being focused on God, the fruit will begin to grow. Here's what I want you to do today. I want you to take that one thing that you said earlier would result in you finding happiness. I want you to surrender it to God. Just say, God, I know that you've got this. I'm trusting in you in this situation, but Lord, I know that it may not happen the way that I want. I might not get this, but God, I trust you. I submit to you, and I'm going to serve you no matter what comes my way. Submit your life to Jesus. Give it to him. Let him be the source of your happiness and your joy. Let's pray. Lord, today I just ask that you will help us to be content in you. Lord, that the only discontent in our hearts will be that there are those out there who haven't yet been reached with the good news of what you've done for them. But Lord, that otherwise that we'll be people at peace, that we'll be people contented, Lord God. And as the world sees the joy that we have as we follow you, as the world sees the drive that we have, as we talk about the one who has saved us, that the joy that we have in the Lord in every situation, God, that they'll be touched with the love of Jesus, that we'll have opportunities to share with them, Lord God, as we strive to see 600 people reached with the love of Jesus by the end of 2020. And Lord God, in this place, as we all struggle with our various things and all have these different situations that are weighing on our minds and robbing us of peace and robbing us of contentment, Lord, I ask right now that you will give us the grace to understand that we don't need to beat ourselves up about these things. That it's not that we're not Christian enough, it's not that we're not holy enough, but it's just that our focus has landed in the wrong place. And Lord, help us to redirect our gaze onto you so that in every situation we can ask, how can I honor God here? How can I trust him? How can I serve him? Lord, we praise you today. Why don't you just begin to ask the Holy Spirit, just hand over that thing to the Holy Spirit right now. Ask Jesus to take it. And in this place, with nobody looking around, maybe you're here and you're hearing that message, or you're online and you're hearing that message about what Jesus has done for you, and something in your heart has just changed, has broken, has a switch has flipped, and you recognize now that, you know what, I do believe that Jesus is who he says that he is, that he did what he says that he did, and I want to follow him. I want to turn away from the wrong things that I've done in my life. The things that I am continuing to do. I repent of my sin and I want to walk in relationship with God. I want to be his son or daughter. then I'm going to invite you right now to pray a prayer. It's not a magical thing. This prayer is just a thank you to God. It's you making a commitment to him. Just like in a marriage ceremony, you make vows. And so will you join with me today all around this place? Will you pray this? And if you're praying this in your heart from the first time, just know that you're committing your life to Jesus this day. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I deserve the consequence of my sins. But Lord, I thank you for not writing me off. I thank you that though I was your enemy, you never stopped loving me. Thank you for the cross, Jesus. Thank you that you rose again. Help me to live for you from this time forward. Jesus, I know that you've forgiven me. I know that you have saved me. And I trust in Jesus, and Jesus alone is my master and my savior. In your name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer today, you'll see a blue card in the seat back in front of you. Or if you're online, you can go to ascc.life and tap on Get Connected. And just make sure that you fill that out, because no one should embark on the journey of faith alone. This is something that we need to do together. And we want to make sure that we can follow up with you and get resources into your hands, like a Bible if you don't have one, devotionals, get you connected with people that can show you what the next step of the journey of faith with Jesus is.